of Moshe Akiva Brandeis.
The parashas that we're going through now, with last week being parashas Bamidbar and this parasha being parashas Nosso, is very interesting how we cut straight through in the middle. Bamidbar was counting Klal Yisrael, going through all the Shvatim, counting them, giving us the number of Yidden in each Shevet. And then, bang in the middle, we stop. And then it's Parashas Nosso. And Parashas Nosso is long enough on its own. We could have finished the countings in Parashas Bamidbar. And then had all the mitzvahs and all the different tzivuyim and different inyonim of Parashas Nosso. So we'll start with which parashas we don't have. And then we'll try to explain why we have these parashas particularly. Shavuos often falls in between, or does fall in between, Bamidbar and Nosso. And we know why Bukhukhoisai is not before Shavuos. That's a Tosfos in Megillah Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, Debar Maschil Klola. Tosfos says Bukhukhoisai is the parasha of Klolos, where if we don't behave, if Klal Yisrael misbehaves, the klolos that will transpire to Klal Yisrael, chas v'shalom. And therefore, we don't want to go directly from the klolos into Shavuos, into Matan Torah. Matan Torah is Shavuos. Shavuos is the day of Nidonin al Peiris Ha'ilon, where there's a din. We're judged. The Peiris Ha'ilon are judged. Are we deserving of having fruitful trees? Perhaps it refers to Parnosa. And therefore, we don't want to go directly from the klolos straight into the day of judgment, of Peiros Ha'ilon, of the trees. And therefore, Bukhukhoisai is not the parasha to precede Shavuos. Fine. That's a Tosfos. Rav Moshe Feinstein, in Drash Moshe, has a little piece on Shavuos in between the parashas of Bamidbar and Nosso. He comes to explain, why is it that Bamidbar is the parasha that precedes Shavuos? And then we'll try to explain, perhaps, why Nosso is the parasha that is after Shavuos. And we'll see a pattern. Rav Moshe comes to say it's not only an idea that Bukhukhoisai should not be the parasha before Shavuos, because of the klolos, but Bamidbar is an important parasha to read before coming to Matan Torah, the receiving of the Torah. What is that? His Bamidbar is counting the people, counting Yidden. Counting Yidden, Hashem knows our numbers, He doesn't need to count us. He says the idea is for every Yid to realize that as an individual, he's important. It's not only the collective group of Klal Yisrael that is important, but rather each individual has an importance on his own. And therefore he says we find that the term used, the terminology we use, the Lashon that's used for counting in Parashas Nosso, the parasha starts with Nosso Es Rosh. Counting, we know from quite recently, could be a lashon of sefira, sefira sa'ime. Counting could be minui. It's also expressions of counting. So why is it that the expression Nosso is used, which literally translated is perhaps uplifting? Also in Parashas Bamidbar, it says su'u es roish. That's how the parasha starts. Lift up the heads of Klal Yisrael. Counting doesn't really have anything to do with uplifting, it's counting. Counting is counting. And says Rav Moshe, because the purpose of counting is to show people that each one is as valuable as the other. And he goes as far as to say that the simple Yid, if we could even say such a thing, that the Yid who considers himself simple, let's put it that way, and the most choshev Yid, the most important Yid in Klal Yisrael, both count for the same digit. They both count as one. Nobody counts for a double digit. Nobody counts for more than one number. Each one adds one, and then you have the entire group at the end. But this gives each individual of Klal Yisrael the feeling and the understanding that he is important as an individual. And thereby, says Rav Moshe, we have now a preparation for Matan Torah. Because a person needs to be able to understand. A person has to perceive that he himself as an individual can receive the Torah. It's not just collectively Klal Yisrael appreciating and accepting the Torah, but rather each individual has his own connection with the Torah, with Kabbalah Satorah, with the receiving of the Torah, and therefore, we have the counting in Bamidbar to show you, you and I, and every single individual, each one member of our family, is accepting the Torah as an individual, as a single person. That's Rav Moshe's idea, and that's why it says Nosoi. Nosoi es Roish. It's an uplifting idea, this counting. And the counting is referred to as a chiba in the first Rashi of Parashas Bamidbar, an expression of love of Hashem to Klal Yisrael. Just like somebody who has a stamp collection or any collection, and he keeps counting. He knows, it's the same as yesterday. But because he appreciates each individual stamp, the one that he received from his grandmother from South Africa, the one that he received from America, he appreciates each individual for what it's worth. It's not just, I have 367 stamps. By counting them, he realizes that each one is an individual stamp. So he counts and recounts and recounts. Reb Chaim once, Reb Chaim Briska, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, once took a cup and inverted the cup. He turned it upside down. And he asked a young teenager, I believe it was his son, but I'm not sure. But either way, he asked the yeshiva bacha, why is it that I can't pour water into this glass? So he said, because it's upside down. He said, no, that's not the reason I can't pour water into this inverted cup. The reason why we can't manage to place liquid into this cup is because there's no receptacle. There's no clay kibble. Because there's nothing here that can accept the liquid we're trying to pour into it. To be able to receive, we need a receptacle, we need someone. To be able to receive, one has to have the ability to receive. We need a receiver. Preceding Matan Torah is Parashas Bamidbar, to teach us each one of us has a connection. We, ourselves, each one of us, is a receptacle to the Torah. And that's the message of Parashas Bamidbar with counting Klal Yisrael. And what I'd like to do is, now before we do that, I want to also explain something else. We find three times the Ribbono Shel Olam counted Klal Yisrael. One of them is this week's parasha with the Mishkan. There's two other times that the Ribbono Shel Olam counted Klal Yisrael. At the Egel, after many of them died due to the sin of the Egel, Avodah Zarah. And also we find that there was a counting at the Yetzias Mitzrayim, at the Exodus from Egypt. Those were the three times that Hashem counted Klal Yisrael. So we know collectively it was an idea of an expression of love that Hashem shows. Klal Yisrael, I count you, I love you, each one of you is special. But why these three times? I think the idea is as follows. When a person is in a huge group at the Siyam HaShas, or at a big demonstration of Kiddush Hashem, like they had in City Field, or even here, smaller, but still a demonstration of Kiddush Hashem, or a great Leviah of Adam Gadol, many thousands of people coming together to share, whether it's sympathy, or to share an idea, or to join into the Siyam HaShas. It's an awesome experience. A person stands amongst thousands and thousands of his people, all coming together to express something, to experience the Kiddush Hashem of a Siyam HaShas. It's an amazing experience, an awesome experience, but one can forget one's individual importance. It's great to be part of this mass gathering of thousands of people. But it could have happened without me. Big deal. I was here. I wasn't here. It's not such a big deal. If we look at these three times where Hashem counted Klal Yisrael, there's a fear at each of these three points. Yetzias Mitzrayim is during the Yetzias Mitzrayim, which we don't even need to explain. There was 10 Makkos. And millions of people leaving at Mitzrayim with Mitzrayim left behind in total chaos and destruction. And they're leaving and there's Kriyas Yamsuf, the Yamsuf splits for them. And the Mitzrayim are now churning in the water and Klal Yisrael are coming out and dry land on the other side. It's fantastic. and all the gold is falling out on top of them. It's an amazing experience to be part of, but the individual might lose himself as an individual. Great, it was great to be here, it was great to witness this experience. It was amazing to be part of it. But it's not for me. It's a time to count. Hashem says, I'm counting Klal Yisrael now. You know why? Because I want you to know that I would have done this for you. Bishvili nevro olam. Had you been the only Yid, you, Yerachmil, whatever your name is, coming out of Mitzrayim, had you been the only Yid from Briyas Ha'olam, no other Marishan, you, right now, I would have done all this for you. As the future father of Klal Yisrael. It happens to be you're amongst millions, and all of them are also part of this experience because that's how the Rebbe Nishim wanted it to be. But I would have done this for you. And the same applies in our parasha of the Mishkan. Mishkan, Shechin is coming down, all of Klal Yisrael are getting involved, there's gold, there's silver, there's wood, it's being built, there's menorah, it's fantastic, the Shechin is actually coming to descend upon Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. Wow! What an amazing experience to be part of, what a generation to live in. But again, Yerachmiel might feel, okay, millions of people, it's not for me, there's Degolin, there's Nesim on top of me, there's so many people who are much more important than I. There's Nesim that lead us, there's Degolim, when Shvatim, Machin, Eshchina, that's the middle, Leviah around them, then comes Yisrael. Divisions, boundaries, and there's me, in my little tent, with my family. No, time to count. The Shechina would come down for you and your family. You just happen to be one of the many, many, many families making up what Hashem wants as Klal Yisrael, as the nation of Yisrael. But it's for you as well, time to count. Then comes the Egel, a little bit different. What happened at the Egel? Many people died. Lots of dead bodies in the Midbar need to be buried because of Avodah Zarah. Terrible. Says Rashi, the first Rashi in Parashas Bamidbar, the reason why they were counted, look carefully at the Rashi, is Lada'as Minyan Hanusoyim, to know how many were left. That's strange. How many are left? You know, when you read in the papers or anything or anywhere about any tragedy that's happened, whether it's a mass shooting Le'aleinu or a ship that sunk, capsized or anything like that, an earthquake, it tells you how many died. You don't count the dead to know how many people are left in India. You count the dead. So it makes sense that at the Egel, people died and we count the people who died to know how many deceased. Why is it that's Lada'as Minyan Hanusoyim, to know how many remain? How many survivors are there? I think the idea is, again, Klal Yisrael sinned at the Egel, terrible. People have to die. That's their kapara. This is where they'll go to Gan Eden. They've had an atonement in this world. Great. But the people who are left are not just the survivors. They need to know now, do you know why this happened? It's for you to learn a lesson. It wasn't just, we can't have this in Klal Yisrael. It's terrible, terrible atrocities are going on. There's Egel, Avodah Zarah, the Erev Rav have mixed in. They've influenced Klal Yisrael. And therefore it's time now to get rid of the fringe element. It's not just that. It's that the remaining people, the survivors, have learned a lesson from the dead. Have learned a lesson from those who were punished. The punished go up to Gan Eden with their punishment. And the survivors have learned a lesson for the future generations. Lada'as Minyan Hanusoyim. How many are left to learn the lesson of those who had to be punished? So once again, three times in Klal Yisrael, three times in history, three times through the Midbar, we're finding a count that Hashem is doing through Klal Yisrael, each individual one by one, twice in a situation where a person feels, I'm just part of the crowd, I'm not so important. And once, because it's important for them to know that what happens in the world, historically, geographically, anywhere, through history, or in our lives, anything that happens, however far it might be, is a lesson for us as individuals. Not just for the collective group of Klal Yisrael or the world at large. It's for each individual. Last week I was on a train from London Euston to Manchester Piccadilly. Wednesday night, it was about 12 o'clock at night, the last train out. And I went to Coach C, where they have a... Yeah, there's an 11 o'clock train. I think it's quarter to them, I think it was. Sorry? Sorry? At 12 o'clock, I went to Coach C.
Sorry.
I wasn't clear enough, sorry. So at midnight, I'm standing at Coach C. Coach C is the, for those who know, is the place where they sell drinks or whatever it is. So there's an older man standing there, not too elderly, but an older man standing there, not having too many people to talk to. Most people are sleeping on the train. And so I engaged him in conversation. And I told him, oh, we were speaking, and then he says to me that he was very proud to tell me that he was a soldier in the British Army. 23 years he was in service with the Royal Navy. Okay, very nice. He squared his shoulders, he grew 3 inches taller, and he starts telling me about all his different escapades and different how many months he was at sea. And I told him that I'm quite impressed by people who put their life on the line for Queen and country and protect our country. I said, without a milkman maybe we can survive, but not without an army. So I tried to make him feel good, 12 o'clock at night. I guess he does this every night, doesn't have many people to talk to. Then, in conversation, I don't know how I picked it up, but I didn't think I was talking to a soldier who's been in battle. Just didn't give me that impression, I don't know why. He just didn't seem to be a fellow who's been at war, who's really risked his life in the thick of war. So I asked him politely, what was your position in the army? So he tells me he was in the kitchen. So I thought, as soon as he said that, you know, I've just exposed him and he's just going to deflate. His whole ego will deflate and he'll start shrinking in size. No, he continued with pride, telling me about the different places, Sierra Leone and the African tribes and the poor refugees who wanted to come back to England with them and they felt so bad and they were pitying them. And all the Caribbean islands, he kept telling me all the stories that he had. I'm wondering to myself, you know, it's all about the kitchen, isn't it? It's just like, you know, you happen to go off the ship and do some touring in Africa. It wasn't quite, you know, protecting the country as such. But then walking away from him, I learned a tremendous lesson. And I shared it with my travel partner, Bianca Rubin, at the time. And I said to him, do you know something? This fellow just taught me a lesson. And I told him, as I just told you, what had happened. And I said to him, he's so proud to be connected to the army. And he knows that if not for him, the soldiers wouldn't eat, they wouldn't have strength, and if there's no strength, there's no army. So yes, he's very, very important. He's very important. Without those potatoes that he peeled down there, there'd be no army. I think he's quite right. I really thought he was right, and I said to Rabbi Yaakov, I said, we as Yidden, no matter how important we feel, we're very important. Each individual is so important. Rebbe would create the entire world from Adam Rishon to this very day for us. If we'd be the only Yid, Hashem would still continue the world. The world would continue to exist just for us, the lone Yid on the planet. It's a fact. B'shvili nivra olam is Chazal. So let's continue in the way of Rav Moshe Feinstein. He explained to us why Bamidbar precedes Matan Torah. Each individual is choshev. Now let's move into Nosoi. Nosoi, if we look carefully, we'll find a pattern. A beautiful pattern going through the parasha. The parasha begins with a counting not of Klal Yisrael generally, but rather Gershon Kahasa Merari. Those who carried, those who had the schus, the merit of carrying the different articles of the Mishkan. The beams, the kelim, the different utensils and vessels. The Ramban tells us in the Pasuk that says Al-Pi Aharon, they counted it Al-Pi Aharon. What's this? On the word of Aharon, they counted these vessels. What does this mean? It says the Ramban that no Gershon Kahas Merari person who was carrying these vessels ever unloaded or loaded without Aaron telling them. Amazing. I mean, each one had what they were supposed to carry. Not only did they have what they were supposed to carry, but it said, everyone knew he was Keresh number one. It wasn't just any of these beams. You have Keresh number one. You have beam one. You have beam 33. And that's what they carried. Not only that, when it came to time for camping, Aaron has to tell you to unload. You come, I know to unload. We're sitting at the Mishkan. No, Aaron tells you to unload, you unload. Time to go, you don't unload till Aaron tells you. And says the Ramban, you come to Yisomar with your keli, with your vessel, your utensil, and you come and you tell Yisomar, Harei lefonecho kelim hamasurim biyodi. Here are the vessels that you have given to me into my trust. I'm now returning it to you to put into the Mishkan. It was unbelievable order. It was perfect. Everything was synchronized. Every yid had his job. Every person had to keep to his job. And you couldn't even unload or load without permission. Not because you needed the permission, but because this is your job and it takes order. And I believe this is the beginning of the pattern, which I hope to show you in Parashas Nosoi, of every person having his role. So Klal Yisrael are taught in Bamidbar that each individual counts. You account for something important. Comes Matan Torah, you're now a receptacle. You're now able to receive the Torah, and you move into Nosoi to appreciate that you have an individual role here, not to be switched with anybody else. And it's very clear what your role is. Keep to that role, do it well, and you'll be successful. That's the message of Parashas Nosoi after you've received the Torah. So that takes us till Shlishi. Gershon Kahos Merari. Let's go further. Here's Shlishi. Seemingly non-related. The din of a Tomei, a Zov, and a Mitzoira. Tomei Mace means somebody who's touched or otherwise come in contact with a deceased, a corpse. And the Zov who's become Tomei. And a Mitzoira who's spoken Lashon Hara, got leprosy, Tzaras, and therefore he has to leave the Machane, has to leave the camp. All three leave the camp. The only difference is the Mitzoira leaves all the camps, Shechina, the middle camp, Levia, and Yisrael. He's out of all the camps. Tzadik HaKohen explains, someone who brings about machlokes, strife amongst Yidden, out of the camp completely. Zov is out of Shechina and Levia. We allow him in Yisrael because we need this tumah. Right? It's a tumah that comes from Tiger, from lust, but it's needed to build Klal Yisrael. Therefore, says Reb Tzadik HaKohen, in Machane Yisrael, in the camp of Yisrael, he belongs there, not in Levia. That's the people who are serving in the Mishkan, that's not his place yet until he's purified. And the Tomei Mace is only excluded from Shechina, from the main camp of the Mishkan. But in Levia, he's allowed. Says the Meshech Chochma. The Meshech Chochma asks on the wording of the Pasuk. The Pasuk ends with these words, Kasher Diber El Moshe. Now, these people did as they were told. The Mitzoyer left all the camps. The Zov did as told, and so did the Tomei. They all did as told. They left the camps they were supposed to leave. Great. But the wording is Ka'asher Diber El Moshe. Says the Meshech Chochma, usually the expression in the Torah is Ka'asher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. Right? Ka'asher Tziva Hashem. Not Ka'asher Diber. And he says, furthermore, the Pasuk actually begins with a Loshon of Tzivui. It says, Tzav El Bnei Yisrael. I don't have it in front of me, but I believe the Nusach is the Tzav El Bnei Yisrael, a few psukim earlier. Tzav El Bnei Yisrael, tell them, Beishalchu. Ah, Min HaMachane. Thank you very much. Gevaldig. Thank you. He says, Tzav El Bnei Yisrael, Beishalchu Min HaMachane, and the dinim come of how far each one, well, learnt from in the Gemara, from the psukim, how far each one has to leave the camp. And so the Meshech Chochma asks, if the Pasuk begins with a Loshon Tzav, it's even more bewildering, it's even more interesting why the Loshon should change from a Loshon of Tzivui to a Loshon of Dibur. So the very fact that it's different to the Torah is one thing, and furthermore, it's also changing. And he says it's a pele, it's wondrous. Says the Meshech Chochma, fantastic idea. He says, Tzivui is zeros. When you need to rush someone, you need to encourage somebody. There's a bit of reluctance, and you need to encourage them to go ahead. That's the Loshon Tzav. He brings it from Sifri. But he says, Dibur is you tell somebody and they do it happily. He says we find that the Metsuroim, those who had tsaras, leprosy, left all of the machanas without a problem. No reluctance, they weren't holding back, no fights, they were told and they left. And he says the same was for the Tommy Mace, he also left without a problem, he brings from a Sifri. So therefore Tzav doesn't apply here. Eloshin Sivri doesn't apply. They did it happily. They wanted an atonement. We want to leave the camps because that way we'll be purified. We'll come back to the way we're supposed to be. They had no problem. The lesson of this is once again, a person knowing their place. Here, it's not about a task or a role, but in this situation, that's where you, Mr. Metzora, belong. That's where if you've been to... Good, you did the right thing. You went to the Levi of your father. Great, that was the right thing to do. No one's telling you not to, but that results in tumma, which results in being excluded from certain camps. And you do so, good. Happily, great. That's why it's a lashon dibur, not sivri. People knew their place. People who know their place, know their position and their role, are successful. The Metzora knows he doesn't belong in the camps. He leaves happily. I'll come back when it's necessary. I have to do my tshuva. I spoke lashon hara. There'll be time to come back eventually. I'll have my atonement and I'll be able to join once again. So once again, we have the idea of Klal Yisrael learning in Parshas Nosek after Matan Torah, the concept of every individual having a task. Here it's when excluded. Where do I belong? Which camp am I in? Which camp am I excluded from? Eventually I'll come back, but I have a place. I have a position. And I've got to keep to it. A bit like a director who had a script for a show, for a film, whatever it was, and he sends it to a very famous actor. And he shows him the script, he's hoping that this actor will agree to take one of the roles. And it finds favor in his eyes, the actor's impressed by the script. And the actor then says, it's interesting to me, I might be involved, I might get involved in this. Just tell me what you're offering for which role you're offering me. So he says there's a very important role of the beggar. The pauper. I think you do that very well. He gets incensed. He says, do you know who I am? I'm a multi-million dollar actor. Right? They pay me fortunes for any minute that I act. Ah, you know how many houses I own, the car collection I have, and the yachts and the planes? Do you know who I am? You're giving me the role of a beggar? Now obviously, we understand that he's a fool. Because it's not the role that he plays, but how he plays it. It's not the job he was given, it's how he behaves in that job. That's how he'll be rated, that's how he'll be judged. And that's true for everyone. It's true for all of us in the play of life. It's the job we're given. It's not the job we're given or the role we've received, but rather how we play it. That's how we're rated. So each person, the Metzora, the Zov, and the Tommy, knowing their place is their success. And as we go further into the parasha, we're up to Revi now. We find the Sota. The Sota who's misbehaved and she goes into the Mishkan, into the Beis HaMikdash, she drinks the waters as we know, and she gets her punishment, and then the parasha of Nozer. The fellow who's watched this transpire, he's watched this happening, and then he's supposed to refrain from drinking wine, grapes and raisins, not become Tommy. Why? He's learned the lesson of the Sota. Now I have a question. Why is it that specifically seeing a Sota bekilkula, watching a Sota in her disgrace, thank you, is the time for somebody to deprive himself. Is the time for him to refrain from indulgence. What happens? Right. So what happens if somebody sees a man who's Mimichal Shabbos gets skila? We don't find in any other place, everyone has seen, a punishment from Chazal, skila, stoning for somebody who's been Mechal Shabbos, or any other of the punishments that we find, we don't find that somebody who's watched that, somebody who's watched the spectacle, should actually refrain from anything or do anything because of it, only by a Sota. And perhaps once again we'll have this lesson. What if we want to define what the Sayyidah has done wrong? I believe it's that she's forgotten her boundaries. People like different ideas and want to try new things, but she's forgotten her boundaries. She's forgotten where she belongs. Everybody has a place. A place of comfort, a place that's meant for them, a role to play, a task for them. And she's forgotten about it. For the person who's watching this spectacle, it's a very, very dangerous moment. You've now seen someone who's moved over their boundaries, overstepped the border. Time to learn a lesson. Don't learn from her. Become a nazir, take 30 days of just refraining from a couple of things. It'll be okay, 30 days, a bit of wine, no levias. You can survive it, no haircut for 30 days. You know, the picture of the nazir is always with hair down to their knees. 30 days is also a nazir, right? 30 days without a haircut. Just a little bit of restraint, a little bit of refraining, a little bit of withholding oneself. Remember, boundaries. You have your task, you have your role, there's a play going on. Not everybody can be the rich man in the play. Not everybody can be the nobleman or the king or the queen of the play. You've got to have beggars and servants and soldiers as well. We need the people in the kitchen too. For the army to survive, for the army to succeed. Everyone is just as important as each other. Which brings us to the end of Revi'ah of Birkas Kohanim. But this is the obvious one. Birkas Kohanim follows at the end. The Kohanim, who are those who are putting their lives for the ruchnius of Klal Yisrael, for spirituality, working in the Beis HaMikdash, singing in the Beis HaMikdash, guarding the gates, bringing the karbonos. So those are the people who have the position, and nobody else can bless Klal Yisrael, can do Birkas Kohanim, can give the bracha, be'ahava. Those who are involved in the avodah, in the service of the Beis HaMikdash, are the people that can give the bracha, be'ahava. The bracha that they give, it's not from them, says Rashi. It's the Ribbono Shel Olam agreeing to the bracha that they give. But they are the correct people to do it. Because their role, their task, is being involved in Shechina, in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan. Comes Birkas Kohanim. See, there's people who have that position. There's the Metzora who knows his place. And there's the Kohen who knows his place. Yisraelim receive the bracha. And then comes Chamishi. Chamishi the Nesiim, the long parasha, where we go through each of the Nesiim. The people who, each one of them, brought the karbonos, and it tells us very, very, very painstakingly, the parasha will tell us about each Nasi, and that he brought exactly the same as the Nasi before him. But who are these Nesiim, Rabbi Yisai? Who were they? Who chose them, and why were they chosen? And we know that these were the people, boss? The ones who received the whippings and the klep, as they're saying here, the klep in Mitzrayim, from the Egyptian taskmasters, for not hitting, for not giving the klep to the Eden. So they took the suffering upon themselves. That greatness is eventually gave them the title of Nesiim later in the Midbar. So again, somebody who did something right now, he has the position, he's the Nasi, he remains the Nasi because of one doing the right thing at the right time. They didn't know they'd become Nesiim, they didn't know if they'd survive Mitzrayim. But at the time, we'll take the klep, we're not giving this over to Klal Yisrael, whatever you do to us. And eventually, they become the Nesiim. I want to share with you a story that I heard from Rabbi Yitzchak Shvadron, the only son of Rabbi Shalom Shvadron. He heard it from his father, Rabbi Shalom, who heard it from the American soldier himself. And the American soldier told Rabbi Shalom the following. He said, when I left the American army, it was due to being wounded in action. He caught a bullet in his leg, and he was no longer able to serve in the army, and therefore he had to leave. And naturally, he received a pension from the army. And he was happy he could go back to his learning. He had left in the middle of his yeshiva years. He missed out on many years. Receiving a nice stipend, a nice pension from the army, meant that he could build a family, live well, without any financial worry at all. Wonderful life. And for many years, it worked successfully. However, in his yearly checkup, after many, many years and a growing family, he goes for his yearly checkup where they check that he's still eligible for this pension. They find him to have recovered enough to start his own business, and therefore no longer could he receive the pension. And to him this was gefährlich. It was terrible. He's at his age, middle age, how is he going to start a business? He hasn't even started ever. He's already got a growing family, just all of a sudden, 1 month to the next, not to receive it. How is he going to survive this? And so he tries to use all his old connections from the army. He goes and he uses old connections. He tries his old friends, people he's served with, people who have reached higher places than himself in the government. And each one tells him, sends him to someone high. This is a lot of money over the years. This is not going to be so simple. And eventually, he has somebody high enough who secures him a few minutes with the President of America himself. At the time, it was President Eisenhower. And he gets a few minutes with the President. Due to his past service and his connections, he gets a few minutes with the President. And he says, he sits with the President, and he's prepared himself, he's dressed well, and he knows he has a few minutes. He sits down and he tells him his story, and why he would like to receive the pension still. The President listens to the whole story carefully. And when he finishes, the President looks him in the eye, and he says, I want to tell you a story. I was a general of the armed forces during the Second World War. And I was serving on a submarine as a general. And we had a mission which meant that we had to be submerged underwater for several months. And the mood of the team, of the troops, was terrible. It's depressing. Stuck in a submarine, down under, for so long. And the worst thing is for the morale of the troops to be down, to have to be in a bad mood. There's no way we can be successful. So I was racking my brain. How could I come up with, we brought comedians and music, nothing worked, games. And I'm walking up and down, and I hear coming from a room, animated talking. Two soldiers are talking animatedly. They're having an enjoyable discussion. I'm wondering, who's managing to keep up their mood in this place? So I swung the door open. I see two soldiers sitting on a bed, a huge book in front of them, and they're arguing with each other. I said, what are you people doing? So they tried to explain to me that they were learned in yeshiva before the war, and they were drafted, and now they're just, you know, they have a few minutes, they're using their time. Then he turns to me and says, and you, sitting on that bed, told me that you want to be a Talmud Chacham. And now you're also telling me you want to be a Talmud Chacham, you'll get your pension. They didn't know what would be with their learning for a few minutes when they had some spare time. But they did the right thing at the right time. They did their task. I have a few minutes. We haven't learned for years, for months. Let's have a few minutes of learning. It paid in the long run. So the Yidden learned the lesson of being individuals. In Parshas Bamidbar, before the Matan Torah, comes Matan Torah, and they receive the Torah. They have the receptacle. They're able to receive it. And then in Parshas Nosoi, we learn the tasks. Now that we've seen the Torah, everybody has their place. Doing the right thing at the right time, in the right place, will guarantee us success. Be'ezus Hashem. Sorry? Unequal equality.
Unequal quality.
Unequal equality.